I am Dr. Mohammad Ashraf, consultant physician, with my new episode of podcast on shortness of breath. So in this podcast, I will discuss and explain the major and main causes of shortness of breath. So first of all, I will explain that there are two types of shortness of breath. In medical terminology, we call it acute shortness of breath, and the second one is chronic shortness of breath. By acute shortness of breath, I mean that the people or the patient who is having this shortness of breath, he or she develops this shortness of breath in a very short period of time. It may be within a minute, it may be within an hour. It means in short period of time, the patient becomes short of breath, and in medical terminology, it is called acute dyspnea or acute shortness of breath. So in the latter part of this podcast, I will also explain the main causes of this acute shortness of breath. And the second type of shortness of breath, which is called a chronic dyspnea or chronic shortness of breath, is having a different sort of reasons to develop, and the patient is not breathless acutely, and the patient does not develop the shortness of breath in a short span of time, that is within minutes or hours. Rather, the patient develops this shortness of breath or dyspnea over a period of time, gradually and insidiously. For example, the patient may develop this shortness of breath or dyspnea. In medical terminology, it is called dyspnea, after walking, for example, for half an hour. And over a period of time, the same patient become dyspneic or develop shortness of breath on walking, for example, for 20 minutes. And then gradually, as his or her disease progresses, so this dyspnea or shortness of breath, he becomes more severe, and the patient becomes short of breath, for example, just for walking for few steps, or even if this disease progresses further, the patient becomes short of breath even at rest. And as I am speaking to you, and I am able to, for example, speak in sentences without becoming short of breath, and what happens to the such type of patients, that at times when their disease progresses further, so they are unable to speak in a full sentences, so they have to take a short breath while speaking and will be able to speak in a breaks, and they cannot complete a complete sentence without becoming short of breath. So there are different reasons for that. For this chronic dyspnea or the dyspnea or shortness of breath, which is developed gradually. So I will also try to explain that briefly. So first of all, coming to the acute shortness of breath, or the shortness of breath which is developed suddenly, there are different causes, but I will touch upon the main and major and common causes. The first and foremost cause is bronchial asthma. Bronchial asthma is basically, if I define it in a simple words, it is a sort of an allergy to some dust, pollens, or some house mite, or maybe some kind of a food, for example, eggs, rice, or maybe some other type of food. That patient is allergic to these things, and when the patient takes that orally or inhales those dust particles, for example, then the airways, which are called bronchi and bronchioles, they are sensitive to that particular allergen. So what happens at the end result, that there is bronchoconstriction. And by bronchoconstriction, I mean that there is constriction of the bronchial smooth muscles in the lung tubes. Are in the airways, there are muscles which becomes constricted because of this allergic phenomena, and as a result there is narrowing of the windpipes, which are called bronchi, and the patient develops this acute shortness of breath, sudden shortness of breath, and become dyspneic. So this is the mechanism, but fortunately this narrowing of the windpipes is not irreversible, it is reversible. So by taking some medications, this patient windpipes can be opened and this constriction or narrowing can be removed, and the patient's dyspnea or shortness of breath can be treated. And the second thing involved in this mechanism of bronchial asthma is the inflammation. Inflammation means there are some inflammatory mediators. One of them is histamine, others are leukotrienes, and so many other chemicals or transmitters are released in the bronchi, and they cause this inflammation. And there is also the third part is increased mucus production inside. Normally the mucus is produced, but in this bronchial asthma, the more and more mucus is produced in quantity, as well as this mucus is thick. And then because of this increased mucus, increased inflammation in the bronchi, and this constriction and narrowing of the bronchi, the patient is having acute shortness of breath. So this is the most common phenomena and most common condition due to which the patient becomes breathless and they come to the emergency department with this acute shortness of breath. So fortunately, there are medications available in the emergency department, and the patient is given by the trained physicians that medicine in a particular dose and in a particular form according to the need of the patient, and this bronchial constriction can be relieved and the patients become comfortable, and then they are in the long term, the patients are put on long-term medications so that they do not develop this sort of acute shortness of breath because of the acute narrowing or constriction of the bronchioles. So two types of medications are basically used for these patients of acute bronchial asthma. One is called the reliever medications. So whenever there is acute attack of the bronchial asthma, so those reliever medications or rescue medications are given, like bronchodilators. So the bronchi are dilated and they become less short of breath, or their dyspnea and shortness of breath is relieved. But as it is a chronic condition, so these patients are then put on relieving medications or controller medications, so they keep the bronchi open when the patient use these medications regularly for prolonged period of time. So that is the reason they are called controller medications. So usually the medications comes in the oral form and in the inhaler form. So the inhaler forms are the most commonly used medications in this bronchial asthma condition. So the inhalers are called metered dose inhalers. And these metered dose inhalers are of different types. Some are having one kind of medications just to relieve the bronchial constriction and the immediately, and the others are used to control this bronchial asthma and basically bronchodilator medications is one type which are also available in the form of the inhalers, and the other are called steroids, and these steroids are also used in the form of the inhalers, and they prevent this bronchoconstriction in the patients of bronchial asthma. And the other part of the treatment is also that to whatever things are the allergens, the patient is allergic, so the patient is advised to avoid those allergens. For example, as I already discussed and mentioned, that if somebody is allergic to dust, pollen, or something like that, then the patient has to avoid that for to prevent himself from having this acute shortness of breath or the attack of the bronchial asthma. So this is the most common cause of acute shortness of breath. And now I come to the second major cause of the acute shortness of breath, due to which the patients report to the emergency department or call the emergency 999 and call the ambulance so that they can be evacuated to the emergency department. So it is a very common condition. And the second reason is pneumothorax. In medical terminology, it is pneumothorax, and I will try to explain it in simple words, that basically the lungs are surrounded by a pleural space. We call it pleural space, and there are two layers outside the lungs, each lung. And that in between those two layers, that space is called a pleural space. And that pleural space usually have a fluid, a thin layer of fluid, which acts as lubricant. When we inhale, so the lungs expand, and there is a lubricant effect in this pleural space. The fluid which is present in this pleural space surrounding the lungs. So when we inhale, the lungs expand. When he exhales, so during exhalation process, the lungs are compressed. So, but when there is some injury or some other disease phenomena inside the lungs near to this pleural space, so as there is air inside the lungs, so this air then goes into the pleural space. And if this air goes into the pleural space, then it is called a pneumothorax. And if, depending upon the severity of this condition, if it is massive, for example, larger amount of air is trapped in this pleural space, which is usually not supposed to be there. This air is not supposed to be there in that pleural space. So what happens that this air then started compressing on the normal lung parenchyma or lung tissue. And because of that, the patient develops acute shortness of breath, and along with this acute shortness of breath, the patient also develops chest pain. Usually these patients are healthy and they are tall and thin people. But in some other conditions, the patients may be having some chronic lung diseases like COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary lung disease. In that case also, there are some bullies inside the lungs, air-filled sacs, bullies inside the lungs. If they are adjacent to these pleural spaces, when they rupture, so air goes into the pleural space and this pneumothorax is developed. One thing I want to stress upon over here, that one type of this pneumothorax is very dangerous if not treated immediately, and the patient can die because of that pneumothorax, that type of the pneumothorax, which we call tension pneumothorax in a medical terminology. So what is basically tension pneumothorax? In this type of pneumothorax, there is one-way traffic. So the air goes from the lungs, parenchyma, inside the pleural space, and a valve-like effect is produced at the entry of the pleural space. So the air can go from one side, from lungs to the pleural space, but cannot come back. So with each inspiration, when we take the breath in, oxygen in, so because of that pressure, the air goes into the pleural space, but during expiration cannot come back. So what happens that we, with which each respiratory cycle, inspiration, more and more air is trapped inside the pleural space, and it causes compression of the lung, more and more compression of the lung. So the patient becomes highly breathless, and the patient can even die because of this acute shortness of breath, this tension pneumothorax. So what is the remedy for that? That such patient should be immediately taken to the emergency department, where under a trained, registered doctor, under his supervision, he should be treated accordingly. And usually a needle is put in, or the chest tube is put into the chest in this pleural space, and this air which is trapped over there, that is removed by a special procedure, by the chest drain or by a needle which is put into the pleural space. So this is the next common cause of acute shortness of breath, which is called pneumothorax, and I touched upon various types of pneumothorax which needs urgent care in the emergency department to make the patient comfortable and to save his life. Now coming to the third category, which is called pulmonary edema. And by pulmonary edema, what I mean, that there is accumulation of fluid or sort of a water inside the lung parenchyma, not outside the lung parenchyma in the pleural space, rather it is inside the lungs. And the major cause of development of this pulmonary edema or accumulation of this fluid in the lungs is the heart failure. When the heart is damaged because of some reason and the heart is unable to function properly to pump sufficient amount of blood to meet the requirements of the body, so we call it heart failure. And now there are two types of heart failure, which one is called right heart failure and another one is called left heart failure. And the right heart receives usually blood from the periphery, from the body. And if the right heart is failed, so what happens, that there is, because of the back pressure, there is swelling, accumulation of the fluid in the periphery, in the body, and there is swelling of the feet, swelling of the abdomen, and some other symptoms develop. But if there is left heart failure, left side of the heart, left chambers are damaged, and they cannot pump the blood in sufficient amount and properly, then what happens, because of the back pressure, because the left heart receives the blood from the lungs, and because of the back pressure, this fluid or this blood start accumulating inside the lungs. And this is called in medical terminology a pulmonary edema. And because of this pulmonary edema, the patient is not only having this acute shortness of breath, but the patient is also having froth around the sput, around his or her mouth. So this is the indication that this patient is having pulmonary edema. And secondly, this dyspnea or this shortness of breath increases when the patient lies down flat. And somehow, a little bit, it is relieved when the patient gets up from the bed and in sitting position or in standing position, it may be a little bit relieved. And it will be aggravated when the patient lies down. So in medical terminology, we call it orthopnea. So because of this heart failure, particularly the left side of the heart failure, the pulmonary edema is developed, so fluid is accumulated in the lungs. So now this is also a medical emergency. So in this case, the patient has to be taken to the emergency department and he should get the immediate treatment by the registered doctor, particularly a medical specialist or a cardiologist or someone who is trained in dealing with this pulmonary edema. And the main treatment is basically to remove this fluid from the lungs, and a special type of drugs are used which are given usually intravenously, and they are called diuretics. And diuretics basically increase the excretion of the fluid through the lungs, increase the amount of the urine. So in this way, this pulmonary edema can be relieved. And second type of medications are also used to strengthen the heart, contraction of the heart which is weakened, so that the heart start pumping properly, so that more and more fluid is not accumulated inside the lungs. There are also other medications, like oxygen is given to these patients, and the patients are propped up at the 45 degree in their bed, so that by this method also condition is acute shortness of breath is also relieved. So I am not going into much detail because it is typically a medical condition, an acute medical emergency that has to be relieved, because there are so many different types of these drugs which can be used according to the situation and according to the condition of the patient. So we leave it here that this is the main condition and these are the major symptoms, and I have just given the outline or just a guideline and of the treatment of this pulmonary edema, and the patient's symptoms can be relieved in the emergency department, and the further aggravation can also be prevented by giving him medication and put that patient on regular medications. Now coming to the fourth important condition which causes acute shortness of breath is called a pulmonary embolism. This is also related to the lungs, but what is pulmonary embolism? Actually, there is a clot which is formed inside the pulmonary vasculature, and that clot can be formed somewhere else in the body, and most commonly this clot is either coming from the heart, or this clot is usually coming from the deep veins, leg veins, because of so many conditions. But the major condition is if there is prolonged flight, somebody is having sitting in a prolonged flight and coming back, and they are prone to developing this clot in their deep veins, in the leg, in the calf veins. So that is called deep vein thrombosis. And there are also so many other congenital conditions. And for example, if the patient has gone through some major operations of the pelvic region, or for example, hip replacement, knee replacement, and if there are some things, some conditions are there in which some chemicals or some important constituents are either deficient in the blood or they are in excess in the blood. So they also predispose these patients to the development of this clot in their veins, in the deep veins of the leg, which is called deep vein thrombosis. And if that clot, that thrombus, becomes dislodged from that particular veins of the deep veins, so what happens? It travels into the circulation, systemic circulation. Then when it reaches to the lungs circulation, so there it can be trapped in the vasculature, in the vessels of the lungs, and then the blood will be blocked to the different parts of the lungs, and because of this the patient develops shortness of breath, acute shortness of breath. Now depending upon the severity of this pulmonary embolism, that which vessel is blocked and how much vessels are blocked, so the patient will present accordingly. So the patient can have a little bit short of shortness of breath along with chest pain, or the patient even collapses because of this if there is massive pulmonary embolism. So the treatment depends again upon the condition of the patient, that if there is massive pulmonary embolism, then this clot, the embolus in the pulmonary vasculature, has to be dislodged, has to be removed, or that there are some medications for the lysis, for the breakdown of this particular clot. So medications are then given to these patients under a supervised under supervision of a trained physician. And the other condition is that some anticoagulants drugs can also be given to these patients if there is minor clot in this in the pulmonary embolism. But one thing is very important that I want to stress and emphasize upon, that it is acute medical emergency and it should not be taken lightly. If the patient develops such type of a condition, such as pulmonary embolism, he should be taken to the emergency department and he should be taken care of by the emergency doctor or the physician over there, and then this patient's life can be saved. And he can also be given the medication for some prolonged period of time to prevent or dissolve those deep vein thrombosis as well, which caused this pulmonary embolism. So according to the condition of the patient and some the blood tests are required to monitor that anticoagulant's effect, so that more dose is not given or less dose is not given, the appropriate dose is being maintained by doing the blood test, which is called INR, International Normalized Ratio. So that is kept somewhere between 2 to 3. If the patients are put on anticoagulants, like one of the anticoagulant is, for example, warfarin. So if they are put on these medications, then for a prolonged period of time, for example, 2 months to 3 months, these patients are put on these medications. So I hope that these causes and the conditions which I discussed, which causes acute shortness of breath, will benefit you and will help you to know and understand the reasons for the acute shortness of breath, and will be able to consult your doctor and a registered physician to treat you in a proper way. So this information is basically cannot be the substitute for the direct treatment by a doctor. So it is for the educational purposes, and it should be taken as educational purposes to make an informed decision to consult the doctor when somebody develops such type of a symptoms, and can be treated by his doctor in a better way. Thank you. I, Dr. Mohammad Ashraf, is signing off and will see you with next exciting episode. Thank you.